Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
The Lord, if you would, Jude chapter 1, verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you for just a few moments on grace or disgrace. Grace is the flavor of the month in the church. You can turn on your television and most preachers are talking about grace. It is the flavor of the month. You may be seated. We know that grace, by definition, is the unmerited favor of God. Grace is when we receive goodness we don't deserve. And mercy is when we don't receive the judgment we do deserve. Grace is a lot of things. Number one, grace is an open door. It's amazing to me that the Lord has made accessible the things of God to me. Don't have any royal lineage, don't come from any particular genealogy, but the Lord has made accessible all the things of his kingdom. That is grace. Grace is no more, no less than an open door. Revelation 3:8, I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and thou hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. When God is for you, who can be against you? When God opens the door, no man can shut it. They can pull strings, they can manipulate, they can accuse, they can counsel, they can do all kinds of things. But when the Lord opens the door, no man can shut it. That is the grace of God. Sometimes a politician might want to shut it. Sometimes a coworker might want to shut it. Sometimes a preacher, a theologian might want to shut it. But when God opens the door for you, that is unmerited favor. That is God's grace, and no man can shut it. It's just amazing to me that my tendency toward God is decided only by myself. It's not decided by anybody else. Not only can nobody keep me from heaven, nobody can keep me from being blessed. If I will seek the Lord, his wandering eye will fixate on me, and suddenly the heavens will open, and God, to the consternation of my enemies, will prepare a table for me that nobody can deny. Nobody can take my food off the table. Nobody can take my shoes out of the closet. Nobody can steal my car out of the garage. When the Lord opens the door for me, no man can shut it. That is God's grace. Grace is access, and God has given us tremendous access. He says in Obadiah, the armory of the Lord is open. I love that. That means all the tools and all the weaponry that I need to defeat every adversary that will come against me is at my disposal. God not only sanctified me, he qualified me as a warrior, and then he gave me an array of tools that would defeat every word, every action, every deed that was done against me. If I will put my faith and my trust in him, it is with his power that I will raise against my enemy. And my enemy that comes against me one way shall flee a dozen ways, 20 ways, even 1,000 ways. I will smite him from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Why? Because the grace of God has been afforded to me. Jesus Christ opened that door. The scripture does not say in vain that when Christ died on that cross, the veil was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. It's telling us that what has been denied and what was privileged for just a few is now accessible to whosoever will believe. Whoever will call upon that name can now go to the holies of holies and have an audience with God. You need no mediator because Jesus Christ is your high priest. So you don't have to call the bishop, the pastor, the pope, the priest on the phone. You yourself can go to Almighty God. That's access. That's the grace of God. And so we should shout loudly that we're living in the dispensation of grace. Of all the dispensations of mankind, the greatest dispensation is the one that you find yourself privy to, and that is the dispensation of grace. You ought to get up every morning and say, thank God His grace is free. Thank God the door of grace is open to me. Thank God I have access to heaven, and no matter what the devil comes against me, it will not come to anything, because the Lord is for me, and I am empowered. Greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. I've got the Holy Spirit on me, in me, and through me. And when I call upon the name of the Lord, all of heaven arise at my assistance. And my decision to call upon the Lord was the moment of freedom for my life. It's what delivered me. It's what set me apart. It's what distinguished me. It's what turned me from a loser to a winner, dying to living, being defeated to winning. Praise God. All of that is because the grace of God. Number two, grace is inclusion. This at that time ye were without Christ, he said in Ephesians 2 and 12, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You know, my heart goes out to those people that are trying to come into America, and I applaud those that do so legally, and yet I have compassion for those that are just trying to get here, because their life is so miserable in the land of their origination. But thank God I'm an American, not because I am a great warrior, not because I've been a soldier, not because I have wealth, not because I have a higher IQ than those on the other side of the border. It happened for one reason. It was called, I was born an American. And ladies and gentlemen, the very same thing is true with us. We were once aliens of the commonwealth of Israel. That means God's people. We were foreigners. But thank God Jesus Christ said, you can be born again of my spirit, and I was born again. And when I became born again, it happened because of God's grace. But the result of that grace is that it included me, that all the covenants that God made with Abraham, his friend, now become my covenants. Everything that was previously denied to me is suddenly accessible. How it must feel to come to a third world, from a third world country to the land of America, and see how we live, the cars we drive and the food we eat and the clothes we wear and the freedom we have. That must be a great thing, but it's nothing like coming into the kingdom of God. My eyes were blind, but now they see. My feet were fettered, but now they are free. I have been set free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And my liberty is from every facet. I have got liberty from the devil. I've got liberty from man. I've got liberty from the sin. I've got liberty from my own flesh. The Lord has set me free. He has included me into that covenant, praise God, all because of His grace. Not because I deserve it, the unmerited favor of God. Not because I'm good, but because He is good. I pray in His name because everything I ask is in accord with His goodness and not with my goodness. I never seek the Lord on my own righteousness, because that would be self-righteousness, which is filthy rags in the sight of God. But when I pray in the name of Jesus. And that is saying, in the name of all that is holy, in the name that is all that is righteous. And the Lord suddenly rolls back to heaven like a scroll. And not because I deserve it, because of grace, suddenly I am included in all of God's best things. God includes me in His grace of salvation, in His grace of healing, in His grace of provision, in His grace of promise, in His grace of eternal life, all because of God's grace. Number three, grace is imputed worthiness. God does not see me like I am. The Bible said about Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Ladies and gentlemen, the promises to God to you are staggering. They are mind-bending. To think that God would offer you and promise you what He does, you have to get in the spirit to be able to embrace what God said. Because it's beyond your flesh, beyond your intellect, beyond your logic, beyond your thinking. His promises are yea and amen. More than you can think, more than you can ask, more than you can imagine, God has promised to you. But it is faith by grace that you stagger not at the promises of God. When God promises you salvation, you don't say, no, not me. You say, yes, sir, God, I receive that promise. Your promise is yea and amen. When he promises you he will never leave you, never forsake you, you don't stagger at that promise. You say, the Lord will be my ever-present help in the time of need, for the word of God calls it so. When he says he will be your healer, you say, God is able to fix me because he made me and he's got all the spare parts in inventory in heaven. I stagger not at the promise of God. When the devil says I can't get well and 24 hours later I'm a living specimen of health, I say, oh, glory be to God. For the Lord has imputed to me the worthiness. He staggered not, Abraham, at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. I ask you today, in this climate of fear that is running rampant in America, are you strong in your faith? Do you believe the Lord is with you? Do you believe the Lord is going to keep you in the hollow of his hand? Do you believe, praise God, you're protected from the virus and disease? Do you believe the Lord is your healer? Do you believe that the stripes on Christ's back are still for the advocacy of those that will call upon his name for healing? Is the Lord still your healer? Is the Lord still your source? Is the Lord still your strength? Can you listen to the president and the congressman and the governor and the mayor and say, that's for somebody else, because I've got a higher power. I don't appeal to Washington and I don't appeal to Austin, but I appeal to heaven, praise God, and I say, the Lord has imputed to me worthiness. The Lord has said, I'm healthy. The Lord has said, I'm healed. Somebody give God praise. The Lord says, I'm walking in divine health. My faith is strong in him, giving glory to God. Friend, if your faith is strong in the Lord, you will not be living in the dissipation of fear, but you'll be giving God the glory. You will see this as a time to praise God like you have never praised God. What good is your faith if it doesn't work in a flood? What good is your faith if it doesn't work in a famine? What good is your faith if it doesn't work in a pandemic? What good is your faith if it doesn't work when everybody else is fearful and you say, as for me and my house, we'll give glory to the Lord. Couldn't wait to get God to God's house today, because I'm laying up treasures of faith in heaven that I can call on when I need. Thank God. The Lord has made me worthy. I'm not worthy in my flesh that I should boast, but I am worthy because Christ, by his grace, has included to me. And the Bible said, being fully persuaded, Abraham had promised he was able to perform. Friend, I am convinced that what God has promised, he is able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Remember this. It starts with love. It multiplies into faith. And then it multiplies into righteousness. And then it's confirmed in prosperity. Those are the four table legs of which God prepares a blessing in the presence of your enemies. Do you love God? Do you have faith in God? If you do, then it's imputed to him for righteousness. And the moment that God says you are righteous, not by your own works that you should boast, but by the finished work of Jesus Christ, suddenly prosperity manifests. What is prosperity? That's meaning having what you need when you need it. Something to eat when you're hungry, rest when you're tired, strength when you are weak, healing when sickness is all around you. Praise God. Grace is imputed worthiness. And when you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, God echoes through heaven, he is worthy. not by what he did, not by who he is, but by what my son has done in his stead. Number four, grace is covering. Grace covers us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Romans 4:7. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Ladies and gentlemen, grace has covered you. God the Father never looks at you without looking through the prism, P-R-I-S-M, not prison, prism. God never looks at you without looking at you through Christ. And by the time the Father envisions you, you have no failures, you have no weakness, you have no sin, you have no mistake, because he views you through Christ, because you are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ makes you perfect in the sight of the Father. You ought to shout every day that grace knocked on your door. You ought to shout every day that grace came to your house. You ought to shout every day that grace is your traveling companion from here to heaven. You ought to rejoice that grace knows you by name. And you ought to rejoice every day that grace has covered you, and there's not one thing the devil can do about it. Friend, I'm telling you that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no blotting power. Once the blood is applied, you can't get it out. You can't wash it off. The devil has no antidote against the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am covered. That means I shout for his grace. Everything I sing is because of the grace of the Lord God Almighty. Every praise I have is because of God's grace. Number five, grace is receiving gifts that we've never paid for. You know, I just love things that I don't have to pay for. I have the money, but it requires, my ranch and stuff requires I go to Tractor Supply about 3 times a week. I got to get stuff all feed, all kinds of stuff. And Pastor Becky has taken up on herself the last few years to buy me gift cards and Tractor Supply. She said, I don't know what to get you. I'm just going to get you gift cards. And it's just wonderful. And it's always surprising. Sometimes I don't know how much they are. And I lay it down, and I think, this is a $50 gift card. I laid one down the other day, and I said, check and see how much that is. Sister Becky had surprised me with it. And on a gift card, to Tractor Supply, instead of $50, it was $2,000. You know how much feed I can buy? Fattening those calves, getting them ready to go to market for $2,000. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I just don't know how much the Lord has paid in advance for me. The Bible said my mind can't even exhaust it. He supplies our need according to his riches in glory. And grace is receiving gifts that we have not paid for. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variables, neither shadow of turning. Ladies and gentlemen, if you think you've exhausted heaven's resources, somebody's fooled you. Somebody's lied to you. There's no way you can lay down the card of grace and the cashier of time looks up and said, your card has been denied. Friend, I've had my card denied in the world, but never in the spirit. When I lay down the card of grace every time, it's always been paid for. Years ago, I had a wonderful secretary, and somehow she had made a mistake, and unbeknownst to me, she didn't pay my card. My card limits are high, $50,000 and $100,000. Some of them have no limit. And so I was going to borrow $5 million from a man in Jackson, Mississippi, and he flew in here, and he drove by, and he said, all right, I'm going to give you the $5 million. We went to Papa Do's, and I pulled out my card to pay for the meal. And I wished I knew who this waiter is. I'd give him $500 still today. He came back with my card, and he said, our Visa cards are not working today, sir. He said, do you have another card? I didn't think anything about it. So I pulled out another card and I paid for this man's meal that was going to give me $5 million. And then he took him to the airport and he gave me the $5 million. But the next time I flipped that card out to use it again, that little cashier, there wasn't nobody there, it didn't matter. He said, "Your card has been declined." The reason my card had been declined, my secretary hadn't paid my Visa bill. I didn't know that. The point is this. If it hadn't been for a little waiter covering for me, I could have been very embarrassed. And that man that was giving me $5 million could have said, if he doesn't pay his credit card bills, he won't pay me back either. $5 million hung on a little waiter at Papa Do's. Let me tell you this, my friend. I can't tell you how many times I've laid down my card. There might have been something wrong in my life. I might not have been to the place where I ought to have been. My praise might not have been to the limit it should have been. My giving might not have been to the extent it should have been. My faithfulness might not have been as great as it should have been. My witness might not have been on track. But every time, grace has covered my bill. And Jesus Christ has never embarrassed me. In front of the crowd, he always says, "Paid in full." Now, sometimes we'll get a loan. He'll say, "Hey, by the way, you haven't paid your bill. You haven't prayed much, and you haven't worshiped like you should." But that's just between me and you, between me and the Father, and between me and the crowd, the enemies around the table. I want to tell you that I'm going to make sure that your gifts are always given to you, because grace is an accompanied companion that will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. He's always there. He's always there. And that's what God is saying to somebody in this building right now. Friend, we have to understand it was grace that saved this world. When the human population was in threat of extinction, it was grace that found us all. For God looked down at the world as it was in the days of Noah, so it is in the 21st century. When men's thoughts are evil, when they're married and given in marriage, when their vows mean nothing, where perversion is rampant, where godliness is the theme of the day. That's the way it was in the days of Noah. But there's one little verse that saved the human family. The Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you say, how did he find grace in the eyes of the Lord? I don't know whether you've studied the life of Noah, but he wasn't always perfect. But here's what I found out about Noah. He was obedient to the Lord. I don't know that I have the faith of Noah. I know what rain is. I'll put a roof on a house because I've seen rain. I will close a window because I've seen rain. But if I'd never seen rain, I wouldn't close a window. I wouldn't put a roof on a house if I'd never seen rain. But Noah heard nothing but the word of the Lord to build an ark. Now remember, he's building the first boat in a world that's never seen rain, in a world that's never floated a boat. He's doing it for one reason, and that's because he's depending on the word of Almighty God. Ladies and gentlemen, you might not be perfect. And you might not be all you want to be, but can you take a hold of the Word of God today on this Sunday and say, praise God, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know what's going on in this world, and it doesn't really matter. But this one thing, I know His Word is a sure place in the time of need. I know that His Word will endure forever. I know that I will stand on the Word of God. If you will simply believe that God is, and that He is able to reward them that diligently seek Him, if you believe that God has not changed, all the godless universities and all the ungodly teachers and professors, is it just coincidence that this virus started in the most godless nation in the world, China? Is it just coincidence? Let it be your decision. But I'll tell you this. I don't care what the professor says, or the politician says, or the newscaster says, or the entertainer says. I don't care what culture dictates. As for me, I want to be as obedient as Noah. I want to build an ark when it's not raining. I want to do something that nobody's ever seen before, simply because I've heard the word of the Lord and the Lord said so. And I say, yea and amen. You are God and you're able all by yourself. There ain't nobody like you. There wouldn't be a world today if Noah hadn't found grace in the sight of the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're here today to praise God, because we believe in his grace. We believe that God has given to us good things that we don't deserve, and he's held back bad things that should have happened to us. What a God we serve. Somebody said, you're just too much in that church. You're too noisy. Oh, when you know the grace of God, you can't be too noisy. When you know the grace of God, you can't shout too loud. When you know the grace of God, you can't clap too much. When you know the grace of God, you can't pray often enough. When you know the grace of God, you can't worship to extreme. When you know the grace of God, you can't come to God's house too often. When you know the grace of God, this situation can't be too extreme to keep you from God's house. You say, thank God for grace. Look where grace brought me. He brought me from a terrible place and put me where I am. But even better than that, look where grace has taken me. I want to praise God for his grace today. I want to give glory to God for his grace, because I am blessed coming in and going out. I cannot be perfect. There's nobody that disappoints me. Oh, I get disappointed in some of you in this church for some of the things I hear about you. But there ain't nobody in this church that disappoints me like I disappoint me. I can't be what I want to be. I can't strive what I strive to be. I just do the best this old feeble flesh can do. And then when I get up and say, Lord, are you going to smack me down? Suddenly here comes little Grace tripping down the aisle. Her arms are loaded with gifts. Her hands are full of mercy. And it says, the Lord sent me by to tell you that you are my servant in whom I am well pleased. And that's the reason why I praise. I don't praise because I'm perfect. I praise because he is perfect. I praise because he's given me a place when I didn't deserve a place. I praise because he included me when I should have been left out. I praise me when he brought me along when I should have been left behind. What a God we serve. Oh, that's the reason why Living Way Church is an extreme church. We are a people of extreme. We realize how extreme the grace of God is. And so our singing is extreme. Our praise is extreme. Our faithfulness is extreme. Our prayers are extreme, because we serve an extremely good God. Will you stand on your feet right now? Lift your hands as high as you can and thank God that grace abides with you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me just do this to set it up for an altar appeal. Got lots of stuff here in my notes I didn't have time to share with you. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. As Pastor Brandon would say, if you're a note taker, write this down. Grace covers weakness, but it doesn't cover willingness. If you willingly sin, there remaineth no more sacrifice. I don't think there are any willing atheists in this building. I don't think there is any willing perversion in this building. I don't think there's any willing sin in this building. But I would agree that there's probably a whole bushel basket full of wheat. But grace covers weakness. If you look in the mirror of the Lord, in the mirror of the Word of God, James said we are like the man that looks in a mirror. If we don't do the Word of God, we're like a man that looks in the mirror and goes away and forgets what he looks like. And so if you looked in the Word of God and you've gone away and you find yourself ashamed and weak and say, man, I wished I could be a better husband, a better wife, a better Christian, but I just can't do that. The Apostle Paul, we lift him up on a pedestal, but he said, when I would do good, evil is present. He said, there's a war going in my flesh that I can't stand. He was confessing his weakness. If you're in this room today and you are ready to confess weakness, you can run to this altar and grace will cover your weakness. No matter how you failed. You might have failed your God. You might have failed your wife. You might have failed your children. You might have failed your parents. You might have failed Christ. You might have failed your church. Most of all, you might have failed yourself. Don't blame it on Mexico. Blame it on weakness. We are all dealing with the same problem. We're living in the fleshly temple. And if that fleshly weakness has been a problem for you on this Sunday morning when most people are afraid to go to church in America, I never thought I'd see a day when America was afraid to go to church. It's a new day in America. But praise God, the people that are in this building have overcome fear with faith, and you're here. But if you've got some things in your life that you've failed at, and weakness seems to be the flavor of the day for you, and you just time and time you fall and fail, and then you're aggravated at yourself, why don't you walk to this aisle right now and say, God, it's not willing failure, it's weakness failure, and God, can you cover my weakness with your grace today? And by doing so, empower me to become all that you desire me to be in the name of Jesus. Becky is singing right now.